Together we take a stand for love. Together we make a change for good. Together we break the chains of sorrow. Together we live the truth.
For that beautiful opening music, and hello to everyone watching. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living. I am Edward Fulhuin, here to welcome you to our virtual broadcast of our Sunday celebration service. At the Center for Spiritual Living, we believe that the natural home of God is in the heart of every sentient being, and that means you and me. And if we were gathering together physically, we would typically take a moment in the service to greet each other. These days, we probably use the greeting Namaste, which means the God in me greets the God in you, or the presence of the divine, or holiness in me greets holiness in you. And our own Max Tuttle is going to demonstrate to us the joy that comes when we greet each other as the presence of the divine.
Namaste, 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 Namaste.
If you are visiting with us for the very first time, thank you for joining us. There is more information about our center, what we offer in terms of virtual meditations, online classes that are beginning soon, support groups, prayer. Everything you need to know is to be found at our website, www.cslsr.org. At the Center for Spiritual Living, we are motivated by a vision of a healthy, loving world that we call the Global Vision. And every week, we read a part of that vision together to help remind us what is calling us forward. Please join me in reading April's portion of the Global Vision Statement. We see a world where resources are valued, cared for, and shared, where communities are meaningfully involved in service to the world. It is time for us to go within, to spend some time in meditation. I know that somewhere between the music and the meditation, the prayers and the message is exactly what your heart is seeking for the next evolutionary step in your soul's journey. After the moment of meditation, practitioner Jennifer Mann will speak a affirmative prayer, which we call spiritual mind treatment, and guide us in reading together today's affirmation. Thank you again for being here, and Namaste.
The first spark of life is the spirit and the essence of God. From this spark, all life is created out of love and intelligence and light. The mystery and the magic of God lives in each one of us as our own individual light. The spark of creativity, intelligence, and love resides in each of us. As I remember that this day, I accept for each of us a willingness to remember, to hold still, and believe that as we go through the portals of this interesting time that we're in, that we recognize and remember who we are. God lives and resides within each of us. I accept for each of us that this service today, that the music and the connection and the message in this Center for Spiritual Living brings us the gift of remembering exactly who we are, no matter what's going on. So I rest now in my gratitude for getting to remember the way it works all of the time. And I celebrate by releasing this word, this prayer, to the movement and activity of the law which manifests it as our experience. And I let it be done. And so it is. Hello. I'm Jennifer Mann. prayer practitioner emeritus at your center. Please read with me today's affirmation from our Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision Book of Affirmations. The real me, the inward I, is an inseparable part of the whole. It is through my recognition of this that the outer becomes the inner and my wholeness is revealed. And so it is.
Where I am, God is. Where I stand, God is standing strong. Where I breathe, God is breathing life.
We're in the midst of a worldwide event that's turning out to be a social and spiritual awakening. And synchronistically, at the Center for Spiritual Living, our theme is, I clearly see the power of new beginnings. And today's topic is thinking outside of the box. Our science of mind philosophy teaches that there is a divine presence that is always expressing itself in the world. It is an infinite power that is right here in us, with us, and around us, and that we are never separate from it, never can we depart from it, never can we get outside of it. In short, we are permanently immersed in holiness. And yet right now, for many people, the experience of life may feel deeply stressed and out of touch with the idea of a everywhere present holiness. One of the most valuable things I learned in Science of Mind is that I see my experience of life through my filter, and that my attention is my filter. Where my attention is my filter. It's the screen through which I see everything. So I want to tell you a story about seeing things through screens, because lately in the shelter in place, we've been figuring out ways to stay entertained and engaged when not working from home. And Kevin is introducing me to playing video games, which it turns out I am genuinely bad at. Besides, so many of the video games are violent, so he researched a game that was racing cars, you know, collecting objects and avoiding obstacles. And that wasn't so bad. And I found myself in one game doing really well and enjoying the race and picking up all the objects I was supposed to. The problem is that I was looking at the wrong screen. I was looking at my racing partner, Kevin's screen, instead of my own. And it happens, he's a really excellent player, and I thought that the cars zipping around and doing all the right things expertly was me. I thought I was doing much better than I really was. I was feeling great about it. In reality, my car was stuck in the bushes, spinning around next to a rock, going nowhere. After we had a good laugh about it and I got to reality and focused on reality and the correct screen, I noticed that I brought with me some of the enjoyment and excitement from that imagined scene where I thought I was doing so well. And indeed, next time the game started, I performed better. Now, this is tricky because it could be misunderstood. This is not an invitation to live in a state of make-believe. That's not what I'm advocating. What I'm saying is, notice where your attention goes and the effect that it has on you. Because where attention goes, some wise person said, consciousness flows. So I've been asking myself daily, where is my attention landing? It can take an effort of will to navigate through the obstacles and attention grabbers and not become boxed in by them. And right now, every search engine, every news program is focused on the pandemic, and rightly so. And my question is, how many articles, headlines, blogs, videos does my attention need to land on in order for me to make good decisions, be informed, and is it bringing me peace and causing me to function better on behalf of the world? Am I looking at the right screens? So here's my practice every night. Before I go to bed, I take my attention to the people I love. I start with the people I love because that's easiest. And I just imagine them well and happy. And then I start introducing other people into my practice, my neighbors, some of whom I'm meeting for the first time after living here for so long. And then I start introducing more people into my meditation, you know, like the people on the front line. Then I start to think about people I know whose resources are stretched. I bring into my consideration people who are experiencing loss right now and those who are unsheltered. and those who are in the delivery industry and so on. You know, right now we're being asked to wear masks also in public places, like when we are shopping. And the upside of that is that we are joining the communal effort. The downside of it is now we can't see each other's faces and smiles. I love to smile. I love to smile at people I don't know. And now that's not possible. And I could let myself feel boxed in by this new requirement. Even though I agree with it, I support it. Instead of feeling boxed in, maybe what I can do is look beyond the mask. Maybe I could look through a different filter, a different screen. Here's what I mean. When I was a chaplain years ago during the AIDS epidemic, the crisis, I would go visit people in hospital, and I never knew what I was going to see when I walked into that visiting room. So I felt unprepared for every visit. So I had to learn how to prepare for every visit. I would arrive in the parking lot at the hospital, and then before I got out, I would just sit there in my car to get centered, as we say. Or another way of saying it, I would get grounded in my conviction, in the awareness of an all-pervasive holiness, so that when I eventually did get out of the car and was ready to walk into that visiting room, I was carrying with me a screen through which I could look, a screen of wholeness, compassion, oneness. No matter what my physical eyes were seeing, my spiritual eyes were tuned into what I call the truth of being. Similarly, I can see now how with shopping masks and distancing, I'm going to take a moment to get my attention on the right place before I go into any store. I have this dream that when someone from our Center for Spiritual Living enters into a store, the whole feeling inside that place will just be raised up in consciousness. You know, I can imagine someone standing there in the store in an aisle going, "What just happened? What walked into this place?" Now, again, not to be flippant or reckless, but to be reminded that we can be and are light bringers, light bearers when it is dark. So our spiritual practice then is centered on remembering that, and maybe you already know it, remembering that right now you and I live in, move, and have our being in a field of holiness that is unlimited in its potential. And that means to me that there's nothing beyond our reach, that right now we have within us the same power that created the universe, and it wants to express through us in limitless ways of newness. Now comes the but, because there's always a but. We can, and sometimes do, experience something between us and that power, separating us. And I think of it as an imaginary box. Imaginary being the key word. I think it was in 2004, I snipped an article out of a magazine that I don't even know where it comes from now. Two Sides of Fear, I believe the title was. I still have I'll read it to you. Our species never would have made it this far if we were not by nature curious problem solvers and creators, beings who love to act, to take risks, to live exuberantly, to aspire to what lies beyond easy reach. The reason many people feel trapped, even despairing about the state of our world, is not what we assumed. It is not just a shaky economy, or suicide bombers, or ecological meltdown. It's that we've been forced to deny who we are. to reclaim our true natures, we have to be willing to step into the unknown, encounter conflict, and take the chance that we will lose standing in the eyes of our peers. Now, that was from 2004. Now, moving up to today, 2020, it's a similar time. This is a soulful time for us to reconnect with our curious problem solver selves. This is a soulful time for us to reawaken our creative, aspiring selves. A great time for us to examine and challenge our confining boxes, whether they are real or imaginary, and maybe to reach out just a little beyond our comfort zones. The comfort zone is called the comfort zone because it's comfortable inside. And that could be the reason why so many of us don't care to venture beyond it to where the immense power lies, you know, just on the outside. Because the comfort zone is predictable and safe and tempting to stay there. Comfort box thinking is, how can we stop bad things from happening? Creative thinking outside of the box is, how can we help new things happen in better ways? Or comfort box thinking is, if it didn't work before, let's do more of it until it does work. Creative thinking out of the boxes. If it didn't work before, what other ways may be possible? And to be fair, sometimes these boxes are very real, and some of them are applied to us by others, by culture, like the very real prejudices against race and gender and sexuality that remain very important social issues in our world today. I'm thinking about an article I read about the first African-American female astronaut, Dr. Mae Jensen. Now, she faced many roadblocks in her dream of pursuing science. Once, when she was in school, and she said she wanted to be a scientist when she grew up, her teacher asked if she meant a nurse. It didn't stop her from going on to found an international science camp that encourages science literacy for all. It's called The Earth We Share. And the article about Dr. Mae Jensen says that she's afraid of heights. Imagine that. And she didn't let that fear of heights stop her. Not even the imposed limits of others stop her from going into space and making history for all of us. Outside the boxes, whether they are real or imaginary, is where true power is. Outside the box is where the juicy stuff of life is. Connection, compassion, real love, forgiveness, kindness, and lasting peace and power. If I could venture a guess, I would say that at some point in life, we've all had a glimpse of that zone that is outside the box. You know, those moments where we catch a glimpse is a good word, a glimpse of our true identity. People have described those moments to me as a moment of knowing, a flash of seeing into the unlimited, just like that. All of a sudden, having an instant of perfect clarity, and then sometimes a fog of forgetfulness descends again. But just for that second, we felt and stretched into possibility like a flash of lightning that brightens up the entire landscape. And in that moment, I realize maybe I've been looking at the wrong screen, and it wasn't a good one, and I want to get back to sensing and feeling what is possible for our entire planet and all sentient beings. And what if those glimpses into possibility, What if they're real? What if the short glimpses of creativity is holiness, showing us what may be possible for our societies across the globe? We're having a flash of insight like that right now. And what if the key to stepping into that possibility thinking is to mindfully do the very things that our comfort zones don't want us to do? To move with and through our fear, and to touch the edge of something larger than up until now. I'm, of course, not talking about being reckless. When I say do the thing that scares you, I don't mean jump off a building or do something dangerous or defy the shelter-in-place order. No, I mean do something evolutionary for your spiritual self now in this process of being sheltered in place. Do that thing that you know you must do. A friend told me a story of moving with and through fear that I've always remembered, you know, how to move to the edge of fear. Maybe you'll identify with the story. He told me that when he first learned to ride a bike, he had training wheels on the bike. And because the bike was bigger than he was, he would mount the bike from the porch. And he got good at that. And then came the day when he grew large enough that he could climb from ground level onto the bike. And all the while, his mother hinted to him that there would come a time when she would be removing the training wheels. He didn't believe her, obviously. He said, you know, in his mind, he thought, she wouldn't do that to me. And then one day after school, there was the bike propped up against the porch with no training wheels. His mother had removed them while he was at school. And he was furious. There was no good reason in his mind why she should do that. He could ride the bike perfectly just as it was with the training wheels on. And he said in his mind, he thought, it's the cruelest thing that a parent could ever do. And I hated her for doing it. He was reaching that moment, that point that I've faced so many times where there are just no options left anymore, and I'm going to have to do what is in front of me. I'm not going to get out of this by staying where I am and staying how I am and doing what I've always done. Apparently, in those moments, the awareness comes to me, I'm going to have to stretch way beyond what I feel comfortable stretching through. I'm going to have to step into something new. And frankly, I'm afraid of that. So my friend with his bike did what I often want to do in these moments. He sat down and he cried. He sobbed. And in time, his desire for freedom overstepped his fear. And that is the key to our hope and our salvation, that there is that within us that so desires freedom that it will help us move with and through our fear into our expression. So with his mother's help, my friend got up. He was totally certain that he was going to die a violent death, and he reluctantly got back on the bike, and there, waddling from side to side, he rode the bike, and I'm imagining in that moment he felt that power that comes to us when we realize we will actually survive this evolutionary leap of faith. Thinking outside of the box means having a questioning mind. I want to invite you to have a questioning mind this week, and maybe start by asking yourself, where is my attention landing, and is that a good screen to look at? And maybe this, what am I going to do differently from now on for my spiritual evolution? You know, Leonardo da Vinci was an outside-of-the-box thinker. in a book I read about him, I read that he would ask questions like, why is the sky blue? And what is the meaning of life? And why is this a problem? Or is there a real issue here? Or why have we always done it like this? What is the purpose of school or government? And are they serving that purpose well? Or what would happen if I looked at this problem from upside down? Now I mentioned that because Leonardo da Vinci represents for me another way of challenging the real or imaginary boxes and restraints in life by asking us to think in a way that is other than usual. To look at everything in life and around us and question its meaning. To do that, maybe you and I have to put ourselves in a different mindset, something that is different from what we already know. And this can be as simple as reading a book about a different subject than you typically read, about a different culture, or about a social issue you don't know so much about, or maybe have some trepidation learning more about. A really good book for an example is Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? And Other Conversations About Race. Or you could eat a food that you don't typically eat. Right now, God bless the delivery industry and the restaurants that are preparing food to go. You can literally, from the comfort of your home, with minimal discomfort, try new things. Or you could tune into a different church service after this one and listen to the celebration there with an open mind, looking for what unites us. You could do something you don't usually do. Create a spiritual routine for your day. If you don't meditate, you could meditate. Or you could handwrite cards to people you love and mail them to them. Kevin tells me that in psychology, this is called increasing your frustration tolerance when we lean into that which is difficult for us to do or outside our comfort zone. I love that. One of my spiritual mentors advised me to use experiences of frustration and upset for my personal growth and healing by asking myself, take a moment and ask myself, what is going on with me? Not to rush through it, not to flee from the experience, but to really pause and ask, what is going on with me? And while asking that question, to trust that every obstacle is also a point of discovery, a doorway into greater self-awareness. And she also advised to avoid going it alone, but instead to get support from a trusted friend or through prayer. Like this, like today, after this service, in our virtual prayer room, you can go and get prayer from somebody. It will be a wonderful experience. My mentor also said that you and I, we are called to a high calling as a spiritual being. And our mission is to represent spirituality and what it can do in this world. And at the same time, you know, being human can be messy. And it's okay to get messy. Now, I always bristle at the fourth agreement of the four agreements that says, always do your best. As I can't always do my best. Well, I had to read past the title of the chapter to get the explanation that Don Miguel Ruiz gives, saying that my best, your best, our best, well, it's situational and it's always impacted by a number of elements. Like, for example, when your resources are low, or when you're confined in your home and feel restless, or when the people you love are getting on your nerves, or when people you love are far away, maybe suffering and you can't be there to help them, or like when you don't know what the status of your job or your income is. It's okay to be messy. So for all of us, wherever we are in this, whatever the level of our comfort is or frustration is, I offer you this prayer. And I invite you to imagine that these words are being said silently in your own mind. And if you cannot yet fully accept or feel the words as true yet, then let those of us who can carry each other, carry you until it is time for you to rise and carry us. I invite you to breathe in deeply and letting your eyes close. I know that today I am in the presence of a power greater than I can conceive of. I know that power put me here in this life on purpose. Divinity, this power I'm speaking of, created a deliberate idea when creating me. And so I accept that I am, we are, ideas in the mind of God, and all ideas in the mind of God are perfect, and so we are perfect ideas in the mind of God and perfect outlets for the exquisite creative love and intelligence of God into this world. I realize and declare that this is what our lives are about, my life. This is what our identity is. I am, we are, vehicles and expressions of divinity and light for this time and this age. I am, we are, here to live the life that expresses divinity as connection, compassion, collaboration, and joy. And operating within me is the infinite mind of God itself, as my intuition guiding me to do all that I must do. So I say with conviction, I have that within me that knows and knows that it knows. And so from that knowing comes the faith I need to take the step I need to take outward and onward into the greater yet to be, believing and accepting that I am fully supported by the very power that created life itself. I take a moment in this prayer to remember again those who are on the front lines, those who serve and help, those who prepare, deliver, and grow and harvest food, and those who are struggling right now. And I let myself go deeper into my compassionate heart. So as I breathe in and breathe out, I feel the warmth of that heart emanating from me. Not that I'm trying to send my love anywhere, but I'm coming back to the truth that I am at the center of this thing called the divine. And that center is everywhere present all of the time. And so the deep love and warmth that I feel here is in this moment available everywhere. And I invite you to let the next breath you take be deeper than the one before, like this. And to exhale. It is time for our offering, and I thank you so much for supporting your Center for Spiritual Living. Thank you for those, to those who are sending in checks using the regular mail to our physical address where we are able to retrieve the checks. Thank you for that. And thank you to those who are donating online. And if you would like to make a donation online today, we'd be so grateful if you did. The address is available on the screen. Or if you didn't have a chance to write it down, you can go to our website, www.cslsr.org, and click on donations, which will take you directly to the donation portal.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're all staying safe and healthy. This is Lego of the Shore by Karen Drucker.
is time for our community announcements. And the first announcement is happy birthday to someone we all know and love, our assistant minister, Reverend Joyce Dufala. I know she'd love to hear from you with your own birthday wish to her. On the next slide is information about our upcoming summer classes. All of them are available on Zoom, and we have a message from one of the teachers, Tom Dilson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Nilsson. I'm a licensed practitioner here at the Center for Spiritual Living in Santa Rosa. And I'm here to invite you to join me in one of my classes that I'm holding this summer. It's the creative process in the individual, based on a book by Thomas Troward that you see here next to me. You might ask yourself, why are we studying Thomas Troward? Well, you might not know that 25% of our teachings in Science of Mind are actually based a lot on Thomas Troward's writings. So we'll have a very interesting experience together. I plan on going deep, and I'm planning on going high. And that means I'm going to go deep in consciousness and high in our thoughts. You are creating something right now, just in your thought, just your reactions, just your activities. And sometimes we just don't realize what we are creating or how we're creating it. And I think you'll find that in this class, you'll find the answers. So I invite you again, please join me. We'll have a good time together. Thank you.
Spiritual support continues to be available to you at our website, www.cslsr.org, where you can find out how to receive prayer by phone, or to listen to a recorded message, or to make note of all of these telephone numbers and resources that you can use for spiritual support. Sunday evenings present an opportunity for you to be with a small, intimate group of like-minded people discussing spirituality. This evening, the topic is A New Beginning with practitioner Krista McAtee. Online meditation groups are a wonderful way to enjoy community and be centered in peace. Wednesday evenings, Saturday mornings, and also this month we have the World Peace Meditation on Thursday, April 30th. Everyone is welcome. It's not too late to join our lunchtime learning on Wednesdays. We still have two more weeks. Just prepare your lunch, tune into the Zoom meeting, and enjoy inspiration and community. Other ways to connect with your community on Zoom include the Third Act, a group led by Reverend Joyce Kinsel. Visit our website to find out what this group is all about. We also have a Science of Mind 12-step support group on Tuesdays and a Time to Sit in Stillness with Reverend Tara Steele on Thursdays. If there is something incomplete in you, or if you cried yourself to sleep last night, or if there's something in your heart you'd like to celebrate, please take an opportunity after service to go to our virtual prayer room, our virtual Griffin Chapel, where trained, licensed prayer practitioners are waiting to sit with you for one-on-one confidential prayer. The way it works is you will exit, leave this Zoom meeting, and sign on to a new one. The address is right here on the screen, and we'll also put it in the chat boxes, and it is also available on our website. Please take advantage of this wonderful service. Everyone is welcome to use it. after our announcements, Sky Nelson is going to give us music, beautiful music. And please stay tuned, because afterwards there is a community greeting from one of the members of our community. And now, won't you know with me that you are never alone, that Spirit is right where you are, that you have only to look within at any moment to know that you are guided, sustained, and empowered by a presence that expresses itself as you in this world. In deepest gratitude, let us live our lives accordingly, so that in everything that we do and say and think, we honor this presence within. And so it is.
Hello, Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa community. I'm so glad to be here with you today, virtually, sharing this space with you. And I'd like to provide some uplift for you. This is a song that is coming out this week that I wrote, called Stand For Me. And it's about standing up for each other and how much we need each other in this world, all the time and especially right now. Be minimized, shrink my size, or avert my eyes. That has been already tried, and the less I need, the more I disappear. I depend on you, there's nowhere I can go. On you, and I need you to stand for me. Give a thought to what I need. This isn't an emergency. I just need you to take a stand for me.
Hey, Reverend Edward. Sorry I'm late for your request, but I figure maybe you can use it for next week. Is this Nurse Katie? Thank you for the circulation class. I'm definitely putting them tools into place, but I am, how am I handling the social distancing. Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm separated from my husband. He's living in one part of the house, and I'm living in the other right now. And basically, I'm going to work. So getting some prayer in between, doing lots of good reading, calling all my friends, and making some new ones. So that's basically how I've been getting by in between my shifts. So I'm at work now, and I'm going in. So I just want to remind everybody, stay well. Don't come see me at work. And continue to social isolate and to love one another. I thank you so much. Mwah.